We open this afternoon with hymn number 189. O God of matchless grace, we sing unto thy name. We stand accepted in the place that none but Christ could claim. Our willing hearts have heard thy voice, and in thy mercy we rejoice. 189. O God of matchless grace, to the Lord. Blessed God, our Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and whom we can now call our Father through faith in Him. We are thankful, Lord, to be able to start a meeting with singing. This is only possible because we're redeemed. Thou hast put a song in our hearts, praise unto our God. And our God, as we walk through our lives here individually and together, we constantly need that grace that saved us to be able to continue on until thou dost come, which we believe is very near. We're thankful for such a wonderful hope. We are not a people without a purpose and a destiny. We have revealed to us very plainly many things. And we're thankful to be able to seek to live our lives in conformity to thy plan, our God. Help us this afternoon as we're here together. Minister to our needs, we pray. Give a portion in due season. We are mindful of others gathered likewise and pray for them as we rejoice before thee, in the good of it all, giving thee thanks in anticipation, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to speak this afternoon about two rods. And there's a verse in Hebrews to might quote or read, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. This is Hebrews 12, verse 16. And if we'd go on in that chapter, in that fact, the whole book of Hebrews gives us a book on intercession, interceding. The Lord Jesus as our great high priest. And it opens up to us a great privilege as we go through life, through prayer, to find a way and help. Have you ever been in your life discouraged? Look around at your brethren, and I'm not talking about my local brethren here, but I'm talking about a time when maybe you got down and you were discouraged and you found the going hard. And as you looked here and there, nothing but faults, and it seemed like, and troubles, complainings, and murmurings. I've been there. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus came and subjected himself to that kind of a world, lived in it, went through it, holy, harmless, separate from sinners, ascended up in heaven, opened up a way, a blessing. Sometimes it seems where we get dried up, and we have this expression, we need our batteries charged. What's the secret to going through life? This verse that we quoted speaks about discouragement or failing of the grace of God. This is the secret, the grace of God. Going on in the chapter, it speaks about we don't come to a mount you can touch. That's referring to Mount Sinai. But it says we're coming to Mount Sion or Zion. That's grace. And then it goes on and describes that mountain, and it ends up to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood called for vengeance, still calling for vengeance. That wrong hasn't been set right yet. But the blood of the Lord Jesus speaks better things. Redemption. Blessing. Blessing can flow out to people who do not deserve it. There's a great secret here in this. Now I'd like to go back to the Old Testament and refer to two rods. The first is Moses' rod. We're not going to read some of these scriptures. Even you young people and children will remember that when God called Moses, one of the first things that God said to Moses is, "What is that in your hand?" And you remember Moses had a rod because he was shepherding sheep at that time. And God took that, and with that rod, he wrought great miracles and delivered the people of Israel from Egypt. Moses was able to take that rod and throw it down on the ground, and it turned into a serpent. He was able to reach down and pick it up by the tail, and it became a rod in his hand, and so on. He took that rod and he smote the Red Sea, and the waters opened up, and they went across. And dry ground. It's a rod of judgment, rod of power. And that was one thing that was necessary. You know, this world needs power and it needs judgment to put sin in its right place and so forth. But there's a second rod, and this is the one that we're going to dwell on a little bit more. And that was Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod. So let's go back to the book of Numbers and read a little bit about how Aaron's rod came into play. In chapter 17, before we get to Aaron's rod, I want to refer to one more thing of Moses' rod. In no, I'll just comment on it. In Exodus 17, when the people were murmuring, they come to this place, God called them, and there was no water, and everybody was thirsty. And they murmured, and they complained about Egypt, about being taken out of Egypt. And they even spoke of stoning Moses, putting him to death. They looked on him as a criminal, a person who had brought him out, taken him out there to die. And then the glory of the Lord comes down, and he tells Moses to go and take his rod. Moses took that rod, and he went up to the rock, and he smote the rock, and the waters came out. Now that's a picture to us of the judgment that fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the judgment fell on the Lord Jesus Christ, blessing can come to his people. How wonderful it is for us to be able to look back to the cross and see how that it was the judgment of God upon him that brought salvation. Nothing that man did to the Lord Jesus there brought out blessing to us. Everything that man did when they crowned him with thorns, when they smote him on the head with their rods, that didn't bring blessing to mankind. Really, it brings judgment. It brings wrath of God. But something else too holy for men to contemplate took place there during those 3 hours of darkness. And that was God's rod fell on Christ, the Lord Jesus, God's holy Son. And because the wrath of God was poured out there and exhausted, so that when the Lord Jesus at the close of his life here could say, it is finished. What was finished? It's interesting, that is the, in Spanish, that is the same word as is used for the burnt offering when it was offered up. The burnt offering when it was offered up was wholly burnt up to God, an offering of a sweet savor. And when the Lord Jesus laid his life down, all the judgment, all the wrath had finished. And for the first time in the history of mankind, the sacrifice consumed the wrath. And he could say, it is finished. All of that is pictured to us when Moses took that rod and smote the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing comes out. This is a great thing to see in our lives, to know that judgment fell on the Lord Jesus. And Moses then could take the people of Israel and deliver them from Egypt and bring refreshment to them and blessing. And so he did that. And the people appreciated it. But now We're going to go on up to the next book, not the next book, to the book of Numbers, chapter 17, and read about how the second rod came into play, Aaron's rod. In chapter 16 of Numbers, incidentally, when I was reading through this book not too long ago, you know, there's some books you read through the Bible, and it's a really happy experience to read through them. There's other books that you read through, like the book of Numbers, and there's so much murmuring, complaining. Sometimes I'm almost a little hesitant to even take the book up and read it. But there is a blessing in it. And the last time I read this book, I really got blessed in my soul. And it happens every time you read God's book. You'll get blessed in your soul. This here is an example of that. The people are murmuring. And in verse, this is chapter 16 and verse 45. Number 16, 45. The Lord speaking to them after, this is after the earth had swallowed up the children of Korah. Dathan and Abiram had been slain by the fire of judgment. Many people had died, and verse 45, the Lord Jehovah says, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell on their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." And Moses and Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. A beautiful little picture here of intercession. Taking fire off of the altar, putting it on a censer. That was a part of the ritual and going into the holy place. The censer, you put the coals in of fire in it, and then on top of the coals of fire, you put incense. And this incense smells sweet, especially when it's on the coals. When it hits those coals, it just gives off a fragrance. Down in Mexico, I remember the first time I smelled what they call incense down there. And it's beautiful. I've never smelled a perfume like that. This is a picture to the sweet fragrance there is to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result, when God smells this sweet incense, he looks favorably upon his people. And that's what stopped the judgment. Because God was angry. And when God gets angry, woe to the people. But there's a remedy. And so, Moses and Aaron apply this. They take that, those coals, and go and appease God. And the judgment stops. This is the basis of blessing. Now, Moses, I believe, and Aaron were learning what God was like. And it's, to me, so interesting, the Moses' reaction here. Moses had a heart like God, I believe. And he was learning what God was like. God was teaching him through going through this experience. And then God takes him up in this and institutes, in the following chapter, the priesthood. And in the next few chapters, you have the priest ordained and how they were to be made priests, the process that go through in the next couple of chapters here in Numbers. It's a beautiful picture to us of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he is our high priest and how that we can be blessed because of his intercession for us. When the Lord Jesus went up into heaven, having finished redemption, the basis of all blessing, ever since creation, was established. Every picture, every sacrifice before that was only a picture of this real and true sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Now God can bless His people. We've been blessed here, brethren. We are blessed abundantly as a people of God today. And this is the basis of it. But what God wants us to do, and what I have on my heart, is help and encouragement to one another of us as we go through the difficulties of life. Because, yes, our patience gets tried. We get put into difficult circumstances from time to time. And sometimes we can degenerate and act into the same way as the people of Israel did. So let's turn on over now to the 20th chapter of Numbers. And, well, wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. Chapter 17, we'll go on in chapter 17 and read a little more. Speak in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers. Of all the princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods, write thou every man's name on his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom, and will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of the princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to the father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked, and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. This was God's way of settling murmurings among the people of Israel. How easy it is when God uses one of His servants to look up in envy or jealousy or murmurings and complaining and find fault. I believe that such an action happens because we fail to see where the blessing comes from. How often it is in our own hearts that we only look to the channels, the person that God may use. Over and over in the Bible, when you find envy and strife among the people, it's because they're occupied with the persons and have forgotten who sent them, who gave them power, where it all came from. If they were really going to murmur here, they should have been murmuring only against God, because God was the one who had sent His servants. And so, the Lord Jehovah gave them a lesson. This was a lesson not only for the people, but I believe it was a lesson for Moses and Aaron too. They were in a tough spot at this time. How many times Moses got into difficulty between in interceding between God that had called forth that people and the discussions. It's interesting to see the various times that the Lord talked to Jehovah and Jehovah talked to him and the discourse that took place and how God at one time called them thy people. And then Moses turned around the same expression and he didn't say they're my people. He said they're thy people to God, Jehovah, and so forth. So it is today. It's not our church. It's not the brethren here as a local group just that God has in view a blessing. Oh, beloved, it's God's choice of a people. He called Israel. He's calling a people today. He wants us to go on today together in harmony. How is it so? Here's the secret. The 12 rods are taken, one from each tribe. There had been bickering between these tribes. You'll notice it all through. It even started when Joseph was among his brethren. You see the strivings that went on in that family. And it hasn't stopped still. It's still going on among the people of Israel. So God gets each one to bring a rod. And they lay the rod up before Jehovah. That was that in the tabernacle there where God had come down to dwell. This is the whole theme of Exodus, that God had come down to dwell with his people. And there was a way he could dwell among them. How can God dwell among this kind of a people? Were they really better than any of the other nations? When you read the history, we don't have the history about the other nations, but we have enough about Israel to give us a pretty good lesson. How can God bless a people like that? That's where sometimes we get in our souls when we get down. When we feel the opposition, the problems among one another. And we don't even, if we really get close to the Lord, we will find out that it isn't just in the heart of our brethren around us. When we really get close to the Lord, we'll find his searching eye in our own heart too. And that's even deeper and harder sometimes. What wretchedness can be there that we don't even understand? Job didn't understand. Isaiah wrote, I, the Lord, try the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Never trust your own heart, young people. It's nice to have an honest and good heart. God wants good hearts, but never trust it. Never trust it. They lay up these rods before the Lord. I presume it's all night long. One night there. And four things happen to Aaron's rod. It's interesting, and it isn't real clear in our King James Version here, the four things. It just in verse 8, it says it. Levi, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. In the Spanish, it uses a different word there. The very first one, and it has the sense of turn green. It came alive. It was alive. You know, if you cut off a stick and make a rod out of it, it's dead. It's cut off from the root, and it's dead. But this rod had life. It was green, or verdure is the word that it uses in the Spanish version. There's four things here I think that this would speak of: life or quickening, power, budding, and blossom is beauty, or, and then the last one is brought forth almonds, fruitfulness. Four things here. The power God gave, symbolized in that rod, it had power. It comes from God. This is the secret for intercession. This is the basis of Moses being chosen as a people, a special one of the tribes, to be the priest among the people of God. And this was a service between God and the people. And that's what priesthood is about. It's about going to God with the problems and coming back and with from God with answers and a word and so on. Intercession. It's so necessary. Why do we have in our assemblies prayer meetings? Why do we pray in our homes? Because we need to go before the throne of grace in order to go on. It's necessary. There is power. There is life there to be able to go on. It's not a question in walking the Christian path of God choosing the strongest and best people, and they are better than anybody else, and therefore they can walk the Christian path. That's not true. It's a question of where you go to find life, power, strength, fruitfulness in the Christian life. And so Aaron's rod then is taken out from the presence of the Lord, and each one of the tribes looked on their rods, and Aaron was able to look on his rod, and everybody could see that it was because his rod was in the presence of God that blessing came. Oh, this is such a wonderful thing to learn. Blessing comes in this way. And so Moses and Aaron now can take this rod and use this rod in helping the people of God. And so we'll go on now to the chapter 20 and notice the use of it. Numbers chapter 20. Verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Sin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I swear, into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Well, sad to say, here we see a failure on Moses' part. The man who is called the meekest man in the earth failed too. There's only one person in the Bible, in the Word of God, that was perfect, and that was our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that you children have already noticed in this story that how that Moses did not do what God told him to do. Moses became angry. That's an interesting subject to notice in the Bible. There are times when you are to be angry. But Moses failed at this point. It seemed to have got the best of him. As we say, he was fed up with the problems. And looking at it from a human point of view, we can, I think, most all of us sympathize with the difficulty that Moses was in at this time. He was, over and over again, tried. The Lord told Moses and Aaron to take the rod. Now, this was the rod that had been laid up before the Lord. It says there in verse 9, it says, And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded. That was Aaron's rod that had been put back into the tabernacle there in the presence of the Lord, kept there as an emblem or as a representative of the blessing of intercession, the things that God, the ways that God can bless his people, kept as a memorial there. It even refers to that in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, Moses' rod, or Aaron's rod that budded. And so it had a definite impact on the people of Israel, that memorial of that rod. Moses and Aaron were to take that rod then at this moment of difficulty when the people were murmuring, and they were to go out and to use this rod. But the way that they were supposed to use it was to take the rod and speak to the rock. What a beautiful picture to us of coming to God through the intercession of the Lord Jesus and in his name, asking blessing for the people of God. Blessing the people of God, not cursing them. In the Old Testament, when the law was given, half the people stood on one side and half stood on the other. And those on Mount Gerizim, curse, wasn't it? No, Mount Ebal was cursed. Mount Gerizim was a blessing, and those on Mount Ebal were to curse. The law is half blessing and half cursing. Blessing if you obey, curse if you disobey. It ended up not being half and half. It ended up the way the Old Testament ends up, lest I smite the earth with a curse. That's the only way it could live. That's the only way the book could have ended, the Old Testament. Because nobody could keep it. Now, what do we have that's better? We have the New Testament. And it ends with grace. It ends with blessing, the New Testament does. Why? It's the rod. It's Aaron's rod here that is taken as a witness, and to stand before that rock and speak to the rock. That's all you have to do. Speak to the rock for blessing to come. Why? Because God is so pleased with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rock was smitten once. It's interesting that Moses, on this occasion, it says he smote the rock twice. Now, Moses was out of control. Moses was angry and not acting rationally as God had told him to do. He was angry. Must we fetch water, ye rebels? Must we fetch water out of this rock? He called them rebels. Is that the way God was looking at them at this moment? Reminds me of the story about Balaam and Balak. How Balak wanted to bring a curse. And so he hired Balaam to come and curse him. And he looked at the people of Israel from one point of view and then another point to find their faults, to see if God could curse them. And every time, Balaam ends up blessing them. Because a curse, God would not allow a curse to come down from above. Doesn't mean they didn't deserve to be cursed. It's one thing for those of us here on earth to do wrong things and deserve a curse. It's another thing for God from above to bring down curse from that source. And he would not allow it in that case, because they were his chosen people. How could God bless a people like that? Oh, the secret. The rock was smitten. Now, take the rod and speak to the rock, and blessing comes. The water came out. And so even though Moses failed and he smote the rock twice when he should have just held Aaron's rod and spoken to the rock, I find this very encouraging. You know, when we seek to intercede and pray for one another and help one another in our problems, we don't always do it right, brethren, I don't think. We often fail in our intercession. Our prayers are often intertwined with maybe little selfish thoughts and wrong thoughts of evil towards our brethren. Does God, because of that, cease to bless? Does the water flow out just slowly because Moses did it wrong? No, no. God looked beyond the poor picture that Moses and Aaron gave. When the Lord Jesus holds the rod and intercedes, it's perfect. It's perfect. And blessing can flow out. What a lesson. What a blessing. How wonderful it is for us, brethren, you know, we have our faults. And there are struggles as we go on. And there are tests. And we try each other's patience from time to time. Maybe much more often than we should. It's so easy to get bogged down with this kind of a thing. And your energy, kind of like Peter when he asked the Lord, how often should I forgive my brother if he offend me? Tell seven times. And the Lord gives him a little lesson about forgiveness there. No, 70 times seven. Is God unbiased? Is God unfair to bless people like this here? Was God wrong in pouring out the blessing then? No. Did they deserve that? No, they didn't deserve it that way either. It all came. The blessing came because of the rod that was being held there. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. What blessing comes down to earth now? Because a perfect man has gone into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit down to help us in our infirmities, to teach us how to pray and to intercede when we have difficulties with this. We have a double intercession, as it were. One man up there and another here on earth. The Lord Jesus in heaven, the Holy Spirit here on earth. That's the chapter that says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. God is going to fulfill his purposes of blessing. And he has provided a way whereby he can bless unconditionally all according to the desire of his heart. And he's fair when he does it. That's the rod. That's the rod that we can hold. The God honors. And when we speak to the rock then, with that rod in our hands, blessing can come. This is the secret for us today. And may the Lord then encourage us to do this, lest any man fail of the grace of God. There in Hebrews, where we began with, it talks about a person who failed in the grace of God. And that was Esau. And Esau became bitter against his brother, Jacob. And you read this story and you understand why he rightfully could have become bitter against his brother. But Jacob was loved of God. And Esau should have forgiven him, but he didn't. And so later on, many years later, that root of bitterness destroyed him. It ruined him. And he was cut off because he wouldn't repent. It says he found no place of repentance. That is a change of mind. No, it's a sad thing when bitterness comes in. I believe bitterness only comes in connection with pride of against the failings that can be around us on many sides. There will always, brethren, I believe, be failings among the people of God. And this is not an excuse to anybody to fail. You read the prior verses, which we did. It says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. There's never an excuse for us to get out of the way and to not make straight paths. But when we do, there is a way back. There is the rod. First of all, the rod that fell in judgment. Second of all, the man who held the rod in judgment was also the man who held the rod that budded. And that, then those two rods become the rods that can lead the people of God all the way into the land of Canaan. And that is what is going to, in picture, carry us on to until the Lord takes us home. Well, may the Lord bless and encourage each of our hearts in that. I'd like to just close with singing a hymn. 153. Whom have we, Lord, but thee, soul thirst to satisfy, exhaustless spring, the waters free, all other streams are dry. 153. Whom have we, Lord, together. Our God and our Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus, the one who came down to display your heart, to bless us, to give his life a ransom, to be the victim there on Calvary's cross, to take all there willingly and bear it, and then to turn around and ask a blessing for the people. We thank thee, Lord, for the way thou hast done this and too called us to be fellow people, to enjoy fellowship with thee, our God, to be a blessing to one another, to thy people, and in the telling out of the gospel too. We thank thee, our God and Father, for unfolding this grace of thy heart. And we ask, Lord, that a sense of this may encourage us and help us and strengthen us to be able to, like Moses and Aaron, take that rod and speak to the rock. Help us, Lord, as we approach the nearness of thy return, when there is so much around us contrary. Help us, Lord, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, who the more he was ridiculed and hated, the more he blessed. And so, our God and Father, we have the secret. We have the source. Now help us to apply it and to use it among ourselves and with those around us that we come in contact with. We give thee thanks for these days we can be here together, for the encouragement of being with one another, and the cheer and the help and the fellowship that we are enjoying here. We thank thee for it, Lord, and ask thy further blessing the rest of the afternoon. We look up and give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.